Father, we believe in you tonight. We honor you and bless you and thank you. We're so glad for the day that you resurrected our life from the dead through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed by the precious blood, bought with a price, and we're so glad. We believe you tonight. We thank you. We believe you. We believe your word. We believe the leading of your Holy Spirit tonight. Father God, we thank you as we endeavor to follow you. We ask you to have your way in this very service. We all are your people. This is your flock. So, Father God, feed your flock. Feed your sheep tonight. And, Father, we just yield ourselves unto you, asking you for unction and utterance as we speak tonight. Unction and utterance tonight. And Father God, thank you for having your way in this very service. Thank you for causing your will to be done in this very service. Thank you for glorifying yourself through all that's done, brought through your word and through your spirit tonight. We want to thank you for that. We thank you for blessing our senior pastors tonight. Father, keep them in the hollow of your hand. Guard them with your care and your protection. Guard all of those ministering in Oklahoma City tonight. Keep them all safe. Father, thank you for watching out for all of us. We just give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And we'll do so for everything wrought in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Don't you appreciate Dan and all of the singers and the musicians and band for leading us into the presence of God? Shake one more person's hand. You didn't get to shake. Shake somebody's hand. You can find your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you, God's been good to you? Is it just me he's been good to? Is anybody out there? He's been good to you too. Amen. I know folks viewing live stream or listening some other venue, you can say and raise your hand, God's been good to you too. Amen. He's a mighty good God, isn't he? You have your Bible tonight. We're going to start at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. When we leave Psalm 46, we'll be going to John chapter 7. So we'll go from there. Psalm 46, then going to John chapter 7, Colossians chapter 3. Praise God. Psalm 46, our verse is verse 4 and 5. That's what we're looking for, but we're going to start at verse 1, if that's all right. I'm reading New American Standard Version tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We could close the book right there and have a good shouting time, couldn't we? God is our refuge. How many of you found the Lord to be your refuge? He's a hiding place. Hallelujah. Hiding place from what? From trouble. Hiding place from what? From worry. Hiding place from what? From pain and from the woes of this world. He's a refuge. He is our refuge and strength. Glory to God. The Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. Where do we get that strength? We are in Christ and we get that strength through him. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. So we know God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's a great confession, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Verse 4, there is a river. Everybody say, there is a river.
Yeah.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. I'd like to read that one more time, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. Glory to God. And God will help her when the morning dawns. Praise God. The Bible speaking about a river. There's a river whose streams make glad the city or the people of God. The streams of this river I'm talking about tonight will just bring joy. It'll just make the people of God glad when you get connected to this river. There is a river. There's a river, the Bible says. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. God is in the midst of this river. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go from there to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, Jesus was talking about the same river. The same we read there in Psalm 46. There is a river There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Glory to God. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. I like that. That river, praise God. Where is that river, brother? Somebody says, I want that river. Where is that river? John 7:37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being, everybody say from his innermost being. Say it this way, from my innermost being. Yeah. From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Jesus talking about, referencing that same stream, that same river talked about in Psalm 46, verse 4 and 5. Now in John chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Drink from where? Drink from the river. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Say this part with me. From my innermost being will flow, yeah, rivers of living water. Those living waters are intended to flow on the inside of us. There's a river on the inside of you. If you're a believer tonight, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, you've given your life to Christ, let me tell you, whether you know it or not, there's a river on the inside of you. Psalm 46 was referencing the river on the inside of you. Here in John 7, Jesus was talking about the river on the inside. But at verse 39, Jesus explains what the river is. 39, but this, talking about the river, but this, he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, thank God, now Jesus has been glorified and the Spirit has been given. Aren't you glad about that? I said, when we got born again, the Holy Ghost came to reside on the inside of us. I said, aren't you glad about that? And when he came to reside on the inside of us, there came on the inside of you a river. And Jesus put it this way, when something in this life makes you thirsty, he doesn't want us to have to go to the world. He doesn't want us to have to go to another person. We can go right to the river on the inside of us and drink. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen to that. Amen. Sometimes in this world, there's persecution and trouble, and there's enough things going on in the world that can just make a man or a woman start to worrying and fretting about things and how things are going to turn out. But Jesus said, listen, if you could compare worry to thirst, he said, look, go to that river and drink. Because if you drink from the river, you won't worry. You won't be in worry. I said, sometimes things in this world can cause you to fear and tremble. But if you'll go to the river and drink, you won't have that fear. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. I said, sometimes there are things that will cause you need wisdom to make decisions, and you're not sure you want to make the right decision. You want to go in the right direction. You're not sure what to do. But if you'll go to that river, there's wisdom in that river. I said, I wish I had an amen there. There's wisdom in the river. You don't have to make a bad decision tonight. You can go right to that river on the inside of you. And he'll guide you through that river. I said, I wish I had one amen in this place. You don't have to make a bad decision. There's wisdom down there. In that river on the inside of you, there's wisdom in there. You don't have to run to a man. You don't have to run to a woman. You don't have to run to somebody who just looks smart. Look, you can go to that river to somebody who is smart. The Holy Ghost, he knows everything. He knows everything about everything. I said, I wish I had one amen there. Sometimes we just make terrible decisions because we didn't stop and go and look in that river. We didn't check into that river. Oh, there's a river on the inside of you. And when you need wisdom, if you'll go to that river, wisdom will flow like a river. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. God show you exactly what to do. How many been there? Man, I've had things in business, things in my personal life that I needed wisdom. I needed wisdom. God, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake here. I need wisdom. And sometimes you can look to man and you can look to man, and sometimes man does things by committee. And just because the crowd says do something, that don't mean that's the thing to do. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. Yeah. Paul was on a coastal freighter one time, and he was supposed to be headed to Rome. And when he got on the that ship down in that river, he perceived that there was going to be a tremendous accident and everybody was going to die and they were going to lose all the cargo on the ship. 276 people on board that coastal freighter. And he knew they were going to perish. They were going to die. There was going to be a terrible accident. And he went up. He was a prisoner on the ship. And that was the problem. And they figured, as a prisoner, what wisdom could you have? You got two strikes against you. Number one, you a prisoner. Number two, you a preacher. And this is sailing business. What do you know about sailing business? And Paul said, it's not going to go right. It's not going to go. He was getting his wisdom from that river on the inside. And he said, this ship is going to crash. Everybody's going to lose their life. We're going to lose all the cargo. We cannot sail. But the Bible says that the captain of the ship conferred with the owner of the ship, and they conferred with the sailors on the ship, and they all decided by majority that they should sail anyway. He's just a preacher. What does he know? And they took a poll, and they outvoted. They had said we should sail. And then to confirm their quote-unquote wisdom, a south wind began to blow. And the Bible says when they felt that wind, they felt like, oh, man, that's the confirmation of our natural wisdom, of our natural thoughts. Oh, but Paul had been looking in the river. And they sailed on anyway, a peaceful, gentle wind blowing. But the Bible says it was not long before a strong wind began to blow and blew the ship hundreds of miles off course. And Paul, and then it got so bad, they got out there and were trying to sail, and they were blown off course, and it got so bad that they were in fear of their lives. Paul had a divine visitation, and the Lord told him, I'm going to spare you and everybody else on this ship. And Paul came up on the deck of the ship and said, sirs, I believe God. It's going to be just like he told me. And he said, look, we ought to eat. They hadn't eaten anything in 14 days. They'd been sailing in bad weather 14 days, hadn't eaten a thing. Got so bad they threw all the cargo over, threw all the tackle over, lost all that money, threw it overboard. Paul came up on the deck. He said, you should have listened to me. I gave you wisdom out of the river, and you should have listened to me. He said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. How many sometimes you wish you had listened to the Lord on the inside of you? You made a decision, you did something, and you said, man, I wish I had listened there. There's no condemnation, but listen, we ought to learn every time. If we miss it, we ought to learn. Can I get amen there? We ought to learn from it. Amen. There's a river in you, and there's wisdom in that river. I tell you another thing in that river. There's joy in that river. I mean, joy will just flow. Joy is in that river. Now you say, I don't get that joy until I get a new house or a new Cadillac. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That might make you temporarily happy. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about joy from heaven. I'm talking about I know I'm saved type joy. I'm talking about I draw water with joy from the well of salvation. I'm talking about spiritual joy. I'm talking about you can be broke and have this joy I'm talking about. You can be going through changes in your body and have this joy that I'm talking about tonight. You can have trouble on every side and be full of joy down on the inside, looking at the river, looking to the river on the inside of you. There's a river of joy. And see, if you're sad and depressed and heartbroken, you need to go get in that river. Wish I had a bigger amen. If you'll hit that river, you won't need an antidepressant. You won't need some drug. If you'll hit that river, I said, the joy of the Lord will come on you. There's joy in the river. There's wisdom in the river. I'll tell you something else in the river. There's peace in that river. Ooh, there's peace in that river. Peace can flow like a mighty river over you. And you can have troubles all around, conflict on every side, but have peace. Anybody ever been there? Woo! You can have peace flowing like a river. And God has a way of letting you know that everything is going to be all right. when you look to that river. I remember years ago, just recently, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I was over at FedEx for somebody's retirement and saw a bunch of employees that I'd worked with so many years there, and they were sharing stories and reminding me of stuff, and I saw so many of them. But I remember several of them that I saw just a month ago. Several of them called me. I was on vacation. It's a long time ago. This is 19 years ago. You say, how you know that? Because John Paul had just been born. And I had taken a couple of weeks off for his birth, and three employees called me and said, we are worried about you because we got a new team in here, a new management team, and they don't like you, and they're interviewing all your employees, and they're trying to get rid of you. And I told him, I said, look, I appreciate you calling. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. But you don't have to worry about me. They said, we don't. I said, no, I've got some inside information. And everything's going to be all right. Glory to God. Amen. That's just what I told him. I got some inside information. Everything's going to be all right. And Lord told me, don't worry about a thing. Enjoy your son. Enjoy your family. Don't you worry about a thing. Go on carefree, just enjoy your time. Don't worry about the thing. And that's what I did. Woo, peace can flow. And that river I'm talking about, peace can flow on you and you can just have trouble all around. Yeah. I remember 1984, I got the call, my mama died. Oh Lord, so many people just recently. And keep Brother Kalani and Eliza and Drakelyn and Bruce in your prayers to our other church members. Their grandbaby went home to be with the Lord about a week ago, and Kalani's dad went home to be with the Lord in Hawaii. And so many going through that prayed for here recently and coming from funeral homes today. But I remember when I got the call, my mama died. Oh, man. Thought my world ended. My mama died. I'll never forget. I asked the Lord for his comfort and for his peace. And it was not long before his peace began to flow from within me, up through me, and then upon me, and then over me. And I didn't have it all figured out, but I knew that somehow everything's going to be all right. I've got God's peace on me, and I know that he's going to make a way. I know he's going to see me through. I don't have every answer, but I know God's going to make a way. I know he's going to see me through the situation. I know he's going to get me through. I know I'm going to come out on top. I know everything's going to be all right. Peace can flow over you like a river. There's peace in that river. And the real question tonight, what is it that you need? You see, we're all different. We all go through different things, different times, different levels, different seasons. And so something that I may need from that river tonight may be something totally different that you need tonight. And the thing about it is sometimes we don't get everything we're supposed to get out of that river. And so even though we know there's peace in that river, sometimes we don't always experience that peace like we should, the way God intended. The way Jesus died for us to experience. I wish I had an amen there. Sometimes, even though we know that river is there, we don't always get the wisdom that we should. Even though we know wisdom's in that river, we don't always get it like we should. Sometimes we know his grace is in that river. We don't always experience the way that we should. Joy is in that river. We don't always experience joy the way we should. And sometimes we have to do a little maintenance on the river. You understand what I mean by that? You know, I like to play golf, and I was playing one time, and a friend of mine could have just easily been my ball because I've hit my ball in the water countless times. I can't count how many. But anyway, this time he hit his ball in the water, and we went to look for it. And when we went to look for it, the water was so muddy, but it was unusually muddy. And then there was all kind of trash backed up. And then not only was there trash in it, the algae was there, and normally I'd been there and played golf there before, and that was just a nice, clean, flowing stream. But this particular day, it was all backed up and polluted, and there's trash and cups and, and wrappers, and then there's algae in it, and it's just slimy pieces of wood. And I thought, man, what happened? And my friend, he says, I ain't even taking it. I'm not even looking for my ball in there. I don't even want to touch what would come out of there. That stream had gotten backed up, gotten stagnant. And you could smell it. And we came back, must have been about 6 months later, we played there again. And they had a backhoe out there. And they were just clearing out the debris, clearing out the debris. And you could already see the water was running again and things were flowing again. And they didn't have a full flow to it, but they were getting some flow because they were clearing all that stuff out. And every now and then we have to do a little maintenance on the river that's on the inside of us. Why? So that the river will flow the way that Jesus intended it. He wants joy to flow to you, not just trickle to you. He wants peace to flow to you, not just trickle over you. He wants wisdom to flow out over you, not just trickle over you. I said, everything that God has in that wisdom, the river was designed by God to flow. And sometimes there are things that we go through in life that if we're not careful can clog that river. So I'd like to take this remaining time to talk about four things now. If you'll go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And what I'm going to do is just put all my cards on the table. Just let you see all my cards at once. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 12 whenever I get there. Colossians 3:12. And now we're going to read down through 17, Colossians 3:12 and 17. I'm going to make 4 points to you out of this scripture from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. It has to do with maintenance on the river that's on the inside of you. You may not need all four of these points, but I'll almost double dog dare you need at least one of them. I can almost double dog dare all of us. We need at least one of these. We've got to do maintenance on this river if it's going to flow the way that God intended. And so these 4 points I'm going to make to you, number one, walk. Number two, follow. Number three, fill. Number four, yield. Say that with me. Walk, follow, fill, and yield. One more time now. Walk, follow, fill, and yield. Okay, that's where we're going. We're at Colossians 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Whoa, that's a powerful scripture right there. And when the Bible says put it on, it means that's something you and I have to do. I said, I wish I had one amen there. And every now and then it's good to look up those words. Like, for example, that word kindness. You know, I used to think that word kindness means somebody's nice to me and then I'll be nice back to them. Kindness. Then I looked the word up. You know what I found out? That's not kindness at all. Kindness is when you are nice to someone whether or not they've done any good to you at all. I said, I wish I could get more than a grunt right there. I said, Bible kindness is when you treat somebody right and they didn't necessarily treat you right. You still show them kindness. I can't get no amen there? Yeah. Okay. So as those, verse 12, who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now look at 13. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. How many wish that verse was not in the Bible? Sometimes, every now and then, just every now and then, somebody cut you off in traffic, you wish that verse was not in the Bible. Now, isn't it interesting that he says we are to put up with one another? We are to bear with one another. We are to hang in there with each other. I wish I had one amen there. There's so many people in the body of Christ saying, I ain't putting up with that. God said, look, we're to bear with one another. And he said, listen, when you got a complaint against somebody, forgive them. You know why? It'll clog up that river. You said, well, I didn't do it. They did it. Yeah, but if you don't forgive them, that river will get clogged. And some blessing that's supposed to flow to you will just be trickling, if not stifled altogether. And so whether it's healing or whether you're receiving some financial blessing or whether it's joy or peace or grace or whatever it is, listen, God wants it to flow. He wants it to flow to you. But listen, if you refuse to bear with people and be patient and be kind and be gentle and humble, you'll clog that river. And notice he said, forgive just like the Lord forgave you. Well, how many glad that the Lord forgave you and I unconditionally? How many glad the Lord doesn't bring up our past faults and sins? How many glad the Lord doesn't say, well, I would bless you, but you know what you did last month. You know what you did last week. You remember what you did 5 years ago? That's the reason you ain't blessed today. How many glad God don't do that? He said, forgive other people the way that he forgave you and I. I tell you, there are times when I wish that wasn't in the Bible. You know how he forgave? You know, when he was on the cross, you remember what he said on the cross? After they bludgeoned him and beat him mercilessly, and after they stuck that crown of thorns in him and spear, after they did all of that, they gambled over his clothes and all the evil they did to him. You remember what he said on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. He forgave like that. They weren't asking for any forgiveness. Now, it's one thing if somebody does something to you and they're begging for forgiveness. You understand what I mean? Then you can say, it's easier to say, okay, I forgive you. But sometimes when somebody do something and they ain't even asking for forgiveness. They did you wrong and they acting like they did God a favor to do you wrong. Anybody ever been there? They ain't asking you for no forgiveness. Woo, he forgave without them asking, without the request being made. He forgave. Somebody did something to you. I'm not justifying what they did. All I'm saying is, look, you got to forgive them. Don't be sitting around waiting for them to ask. You'll be waiting until Jesus come back. For some people, because some people just not going to do, you know, if they would do right, they would come and repent, but not everybody going to do that. And you got to forgive them oftentimes you have to forgive without the request being made. I said, I wish I had one amen there. I'm trying to get to my points. Y'all slowing me down. These slow amens are slowing me down. Don't blame the preacher. Y'all saying amen too slow. Okay, the first point, walk. What's that mean? Walk in love. Where are you getting that from? Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Yeah. There ain't no other way. Amen. We have to walk in love. Love will never fail. I said love will never fail. Love is always the answer. You say, but you don't know what they did. Love is always the answer. You say, but you don't know how they talked to me. Love is always the answer. You say, you don't know how they scandalized my name. Love is always the answer. I said, walk in love. One aspect of the maintenance. I said four things tonight, but one aspect, one area where we have to do maintenance, we have to make sure we're walking in love. And if we're not walking in love, then we've got to go back and make that right. I said, friends have to make it right. Husbands and wives have to make it right. You have to make it right with the enemy. Look, you've got to walk in love. There ain't no other way. And every step out of love is a step into sin. And so you'll clog the river like that. You'll clog the river just hoping somebody gets what they deserve. I ain't gonna say nothing, but I hope they get what they deserve. You're clogging your river. Something's not gonna flow. Something's just gonna trickle. I said, I wish I had an amen. You can't get no big amens teaching a sermon like this. Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love. So walk has to do with walk in love. That's my first point, walk in love. My second point, what word did I tell you to hang on to? Follow. Yeah, follow after peace is what I mean. Follow after peace. Get that from verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The Bible said, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Amplified said, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and act as umpire. Let his peace make the final call. I think Pastor Marvin was teaching on that recently. Just a powerful message. But listen, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. We're to go forth and be led by peace. I said, I wish I had an amen. Sometimes we let pressure lead us. And pressure leads you wrong every single time. You can have to make major decision, and they try to pressure you, and you say, okay, well, we've got to make a decision. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe ain't going to get this. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe have you repenting later. And so pressure is not, and when people put you under pressure, then you've got to push back and make sure you're being led by peace. We're to be led by peace. And if you don't have peace, back away. Oh man, one time I was going to buy a car, and man, they got it down there. And then, now when they asked me the price, now the bank, they said I could buy it at the price. It was a good price that they offered it for. But then when I prayed about it, just didn't have peace. So I said no, and they kept telling me it was a good deal, it was a good deal, it was a good deal. They said they would never give it to me at the price I wanted, never give it to me. They said they would send it to the auction before they sold it to me at that price. And I said, well, whatever you got to do. And I was going home. I said, Lord, now you know I want that car. And Lord, you know I can buy the car at that price. And Lord, you know I think that's a good thing. I think we should go ahead. I didn't have no peace. And I've learned. I said, I've learned. Because I've been there before when I said, well, let me go ahead and do this. Go ahead and let me sign on that. I regretted it for 3 years. How many know what I'm talking about? So I learned. Don't do it. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, why wouldn't I have peace about that? That is a great price. The bank says it's a great price. Kelly Blue Book says it's a great price. This is a great price. Didn't have peace. I said, but I'm not going to override it. They sent it to auction. I didn't even worry about it. I thought, Father knows best. How many know Father knows best? There's wisdom in that river, and he knows best. It may look like he don't know what he's doing, but God knows best for you, my friend. And they sent that car to auction. I thought, well, that one's gone. Well, Lord, you got something better for me. You got something better for me. Kept waiting, didn't find it. Kept waiting, didn't find it. 2 months passed. I was back on that car lot. Guy said, oh, come back, come in the back. Waved me around to the back. Their car, they just rolled it off the motor carrier, you know, the big carrier. And they said, it just came back from auction. They wouldn't give us what we wanted for this car. I said, is that right? I tried to act like I didn't like it. I said, it's okay. It's all right. He said, tell you what, we're going to make you one final deal. My boss knows you're out here. We're going to make you one final deal. He said he would never cut it this low, and said, here's the deal. Once for all, take it or leave it. I said, okay, well, let me get right back with you. I said, let me go make sure, because I couldn't tell. Am I excited about the car? Yes. Or am I excited about, and the thing is, I got in the car. This is honest. I got in the car, right? I said, well, let me just drive it and see if there's, you know, I'll drive it around the block. I got in the car. I'm driving the car. And I had a cassette tape with me, and I pushed the tape in there, Ron Canole singing Hallowed Be Thy Name. And I started driving the car. I got so full of peace. I said, Lord, is it the tape? Is it the car I'm supposed to buy? I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting peace from the tape or if it's the car. I don't know which one. I had to go home and sort it out. That's the truth. I said, I'll be back. No, the Lord told me it wasn't the tape was good, but it was his peace that, for the car. He was leading me with peace for the car, but it wasn't to buy it yet, to wait. I said, oh, no, Lord, we're going to insult them. Just wait. Well, we don't have any more time. Look, they came down another $1,000 before I bought that car. It was the easiest thing I ever paid for in my life. I drove off there. I put that Ron Canole in there. And I don't care where the people are coming from. We got to finish this thing. We're to be led by peace, not pressure. We're to be led by peace. And if you don't have that peace, excuse yourself. Go to the bathroom, get into a restroom stall, and pray in a brand new tongue until you can discern which way God is telling you to go. And if you can't do that, then wait. Can't get no amen when you say wait. Walk in love, follow after peace. Number three, look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. So that fill that I gave you, that word fill, means this: fill up on the word. Fill up on the word. Walk in love, follow after peace, fill up on the word. Notice that it said there, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And for some people, that's clogging your river. You're not getting enough word time. And if you don't get enough word time, then you'll be much less discerning as the Spirit of God tries to lead you. If you don't get enough word time, you'll be much less sensitive when he tries to give you his peace. Wish I had an amen there. For some people, what's causing your river to just trickle is you're not giving yourself enough word time. And you've got to find time in your busy schedule. We're all busy, places to go, people to see, and stuff to do. I get it. But you got to find time in your busy schedule. And if you'll do that and get that word time, what'll happen? That backhoe will clear out all of that stuff. And I'm saying, and direction and peace and things you need from the word will flow to you. There'll be revelation coming from the word of God to you, flowing to you. So walk in love, follow after peace, fill up on the word. And finally, the latter part of verse 16, yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. You notice verse 16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. I like that. So if we'll let the word dwell in us with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, part of our teaching and admonishing comes from the word, if we let it richly dwell in us. On the other hand, he goes on to say, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your heart to God. Now the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual, particularly those spiritual songs, are songs that are given by the Spirit. And you don't have to play in the band up here or be one of the frontline singers for God to give you songs and minister things to you, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I said, if you'll make time to worship God, He'll give you songs and things in your spirit. He'll cause other songs that you know to stand out in your spirit. I said, I wish I had an amen. It is an awesome, powerful way to meditate on the word through song, through the power of worship, through the power of song will draw you right into meditation whether or not you know it. Parallel passage over in Ephesians 5:18. We don't have time to go there. 5:18, 19, and 20 says the same thing about admonishing yourself, being filled with the Spirit. First 18 says, "Be filled with don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit." And then it says, singing and making melody in your heart, singing melody, spiritual songs to the Lord. So it covers that aspect of being filled with the Spirit by saying singing songs and psalms and spiritual songs. That's part of our yieldedness to God. And for some folk in here tonight, and for some folk listening, what's been clogging your river is your own yieldedness. You're not yielding to the Lord. You're not yielding to him. And see, but for the river to flow, we have to yield ourselves. We have to yield our tongue, certainly, but we have to yield ourselves in obedience to God, in obedience to the will of God. We have to yield ourselves. It can't be your will, your way. It has to be, Lord, what is your pleasure? What is your desire? What is your purpose? What is your will? What do you want me to do? I said, I wish I had an amen there. And then we have to yield ourselves to that. And many times it might be something that your mind is going tilt because your mind doesn't want to do that, but the Lord is telling you to do that. And so you have to yield yourself. And if you'll yield yourself, oh my goodness, the river will flow. So for many a Christian, we all have a river, but for many a Christian, parts of the river have been clogged up. Stand on your feet, my brother and sister. That's all we need to do tonight. That's what we wanted to get across to you tonight. Our time is up tonight. For some of us, that river has gotten clogged up. You pray in the Spirit, all right, but when you used to pray, it used to flow out like a river. and now it's just trickling out. You're getting wisdom, all right, but the wisdom you're getting is, it's so infrequent and it's just so limited, and it's had so painstaking to get an answer from God. You're having to run around to man and think, go run up to somebody you think has wisdom and listen to them, and God could give it to you all the time, right on the inside. And because there's not a flow, wisdom's trickling out when it should be flowing out. Peace is trickling out when it should be flowing out. The comfort of God should be flowing to some, but it's just trickling out. And so, walking in love, following after peace, filling up on the word, and yielding to the Spirit will clean out any river and enable there to be a flow, like Jesus said, from his innermost belly, innermost being, rivers of living water will flow. With every head bowed tonight, every eye closed, as you stand there, you and God. First, you might be here tonight and your river has really gotten backed up. I'll tell you how. Because you've been doing your own thing. Maybe you're not doing bad things, but you've turned away from the Lord. You're making your own plans, making your own decisions, and you've walked away from the Lord in that sense. You were following him closely and you've turned, and now you're doing your own thing, going your own way, going your own direction. And you know what it's like for a river to flow. You remember when a river flowed from you. But not tonight. You're not that way tonight. That river has been stifled and stagnant. But you want to be free. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, he's ministering to you. You're sensing he's ministering to you. Something's going on the inside of you right now. And the Holy Spirit's ministering to you. And the Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And you want to unstop that river and make it right. You want to say, I want to come back completely. I want to give my heart completely again and follow God completely. I want you to pray for me. Let me see your hand. Just lift your hand up. Yep, I see your hand. Just lift your hand up. All of this audience, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. You're with family tonight. But you can't let family get in your way between you and God. If you really want to be free, you can't worry about the person sitting next to you. We're all for you. We're not against you. Let me see your hand. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray. Listen, I want you to get out of your seat. Just come boldly. Come right down here. I'm going to pray for you. God is going to unclog that river. The Lord is going to set you free. His power is going to come on you, and he is going to change you. He is going to turn you. He is going to set you on fire again. He is going to bless you and help you. Just come right on up here. Don't be embarrassed at all. Just come right on. Just there you go. Stay right here for me. Stay right here. Just come on down here. Just be bold. Come on down here. You know God's dealing with you. Preacher ain't got nothing to do with it. God himself is dealing with you. And you can shrug him off if you want to. You can shrug him off if you want to. But it won't bode well. Listen, come on down here and let God help you. The Lord wants to help you tonight. He wants to change something in you tonight. You may be here tonight. Maybe you never gave your life to Christ. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord. And tonight's your night. Tonight you can say, Lord, I want you to set me free by the blood of Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I want to accept your offer of forgiveness, and I want to be totally free. Tonight you can be totally free. Anybody here, you've never asked the Lord to come into your life. You've never asked him to come into your heart. You've never asked him to come into your life yet. Let me see your hand. Okay. All right. Somebody here. Okay. Come on down here. Listen, I want you to be bold. God's going to help you. Come on. Come on down here. He knows he's working on that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart. Don't be embarrassed. Come on down. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to get something to you. And see, God will help you if you'll obey him. Here's where you have to yield yourself. Here's where you have to yield. It's a long walk, but God will bless you he will bless you. You'll never forget it. He'll make it worth your while. You'll never forget it. He'll never forget it. His power sets you free. His power will set you free. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. Praise God. Listen, you may be here tonight And there was a time when you yielded more to the Holy Ghost. You took time to pray in the Spirit. And it's been a long time. You just haven't yielded yourself. You haven't yielded yourself over there in that area. And you haven't prayed in the Spirit in so long. And you're just dry as toast on the inside. And you want to be free. You want that river to flow. I want you to just lift your hand. I want you to pray for me. I want that river to flow. Pray for me. Wherever you, we're all across this congregation tonight. Somebody wants to be free in here tonight. I want to flow. I want that river to flow again in me. Hallelujah. I want you both to lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one, because that's where your help's coming from. Your help's coming from Him tonight. And I want you to say this prayer after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I yield myself to you. Ask you to forgive me for all of my sins, to cleanse me, make me new again, and take me in. I'll live for you. I'll follow you all the days of my life. Cause that river on the inside of me to flow like a mighty stream. In the name of Jesus, may it flow like a mighty stream. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is Sister Kay right here. And she's our prayer room worker. And we have two sisters. And they're going to take you to a place of prayer. And I want you to go with them right now to a place of prayer. And they're going to answer any questions. Make sure you get everything that you came for tonight. Let's show our love tonight. Just before we go, I know there's still somebody here. You need to submit yourself to the Lord and make it right with Him. I can just tell in my spirit. God knows it. You know it. The devil knows it. You're probably fooling people around you. But whoever you are, listen, I want to give you one more chance. Come on down here and make it right with the Lord. Wherever you are, come on down here before we go. Make it right. You know God's dealing with you. God's trying to get something to you. And if you'll listen to Him and come on down here, He's going to help you. So I can just sense that you're there. God's trying to help you. Praise God. He's trying to help you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. Say this after me. Father, I just commit myself to you. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for filling me and strengthening me in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And so I want you to go with Sister Francita to that prayer room, and she's going to help you. Come on, let's show our love. Give our sister a big hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many know God is good? I said, how many know He's good to you? He's better to you than you realize. Amen. All right. Well, you came here. Sit down just for a second. You came here tonight, and you're a first-time guest. We're going, really. Just sit down so I can see the first-time guest. You're a first-time guest. Let me see your hand again. We have first-time guests? Yeah, okay. All right, so listen, go with our connection team worker to that place where Pastor Marvin told you we got a great gift for you, and we just want to give you that gift and bless you. They're not going to keep you. They're just going to bless you. You'll be glad you went there and got that gift, okay? Let's show our love to all of those who it's their first time. All right. Now lift one hand to the Lord in your seat. Father, now, as we prepare to go, we thank you for all who went to the prayer room. We thank you, Father, for blessing them, Father, for filling them, for renewing, rejuvenating, strengthening them. May the river flow in every one of them, Father God, like a mighty, mighty stream. And Father, thank you for helping us all tonight. And whatever part of that maintenance that either of us need in here tonight, help your sons and daughters to take that part that they need and apply it, Father God, so that that river will flow in a more forceful way, and they'll sense your peace and wisdom and your mercy and grace and strength and all the things that are in that river. Father, protect us on the way home. Protect our senior pastors. Protect all of those who are in Oklahoma City ministering tonight. Until we see each other again, we'll give you all of the glory, the honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for being here.